Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church, a place of spiritual cultivating, loving care, and creating great commissioning experiences. And now, an anointed word from Pastor Norman E. Curley.
These teachings is doing is it's coming against the spirit of the world that deals with this thing about holiday blues. It's proven through research that this is the time of the year whereby people experience so many negative emotions. People who already that deals with depression and those type things in their life, it is intensified during this time of the year. We as believers have to recognize we're still in human form. So don't think just because you're a Christian, you're exempt from these negative emotions and experience and psychological challenges that happen in people's lives. But the truth of the matter is that God provides His word so that we can have a different witness. And so instead of us letting this time of the year be a time where we experience boredom, depression, and all these stressful things in our lives, it's a time where we have a faith witness of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so we've been talking from this theme, 'Tis the season to be joyful. And on last week, we raised the question, what are some things that affects your joy? And then we identified that possessing a faith perspective affects my joy. Two people can see the same thing and can have a different experience. And what we as believers have to do is begin to take the word of God and let it be the lens that we look at situations in our lives, even negative things in our lives. We put the lens of truth on it. And how many know God can take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it for good if you develop a faith perspective? We said another thing we have to do is my attitude of active praise affects my joy. The Bible says we ought to bless the Lord, what? At all times. His praise shall, what? Continually be in my mouth. The third thing we said was godly prosperity affects my joy. When you hear the word sustain or sustainability, what comes to mind? The definition for sustain is it calls to continue to be prolonged for an extended period of time. One definition is without interruption. 'Tis the season to be joyful is not simply a Christian expression or even an experience of the believers, but it is a declaration of the redeemed. Psalms 107, verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. The New King James Version, I think, say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I like that translation. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Now, when Israel began to tell their story, what was their story? Their story was that we were slaves in Egypt, but God brought us out. Their story was life got so difficult. We, even when we got out and we thought God was leading us, we ran into a major problem because there was a Red Sea in front of us, but God brought us through it. We were in the wilderness and we had no water and we thought we were going to die of thirst and God brought water out of a rock. How many know they're telling their story? And so the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Get this. What have God brought you out of? That's your story. See, a lot of us, we don't like to tell our story because we think that if I told my story, people are going to judge me a certain way. So we like to tell about our accomplishments. But when you tell your story, what you tell the world is that God is able to bring you out of some difficult stuff in your life. So he said, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. He redeemed them from the hand of the foe. The foe is the enemy. How many know when you got born again, God gave you a story? At the birth of Christ, the shepherds ran to tell their story, but there was a host of angels. One translation says an army or heavenly troop that had announced also the coming of the Messiah. And the army of the heavenly troops and the angels' announcement was that Jesus, the Savior, the Redeemer, how many know they are making a declaration, have come into the earth. Their story was one of God's faithfulness, God's presence, God's power. Christ, the born baby who is the Savior of the world, has come into the earth. Matter of fact, Luke, when he writes it in Luke chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, the Bible says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel. How many know that's like an army of angels? They appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor. The angels are making a declaration, but do you notice that they said, glory to God in the highest heaven and to those to whom his favor? Don't you know Jesus came to bring favor for mankind? Don't you know Jesus came to bring peace to mankind? Now, saints, in our last lesson, we responded to the question, what affects my joy? My faith perspective, my continual praise, godly prosperity. How many know all that affects my joy? Now, here's the question. How to sustain my joy without interruption? Because that's the declaration they're making, is that Jesus is here now. Peace is here now. So how can I have my joy sustained without interruption? Some people may think there's nowhere in the world you're going to live in this world without having your joy interrupted. You can if you got the peace of God. See, peace don't mean the absence of problems. Peace means you got peace in the midst of the problem. So I thought about that, and the Holy Spirit began to stir my heart, how to sustain your joy without interruption. You'll be amazed that some people can be joyful at church and get home and all hell break loose. But I don't know about you, but I want to have what I call sustaining joy. I don't want Christmas to end and my joy end. I don't want to be in a watch night service and be excited, then the next day my joy end. I don't want to be excited at church, the anointing of God, the presence of God, singing his praise, and get at work and I got a headache because I saw one of my coworkers that keeps causing me problems. I don't want to get a text message from somebody in church and all of a sudden messed up the rest of my day. I submit to you, God wants us to have sustaining joy without interruption. And I'm going to show us how to do that. The Bible is the answer. And the first thing has to happen, we have to reverse the curse of chaos and confusion by pursuing paths of peace. Conflict is normal. There's no way you're going to live in a world and don't have conflict. If you're in a relationship with someone, conflict is normal. Husband and wife, conflict is normal for us. Why? Because we're two different human beings. We have two opinions unless there's a controller and want everybody to think like them, act like them, be like them. But it's normal to have conflict in relationships. We just have to develop what we call conflict resolution skills, how to resolve conflict in a healthy way, effective communication skills. Even on your job, conflict is normal. You just have to know how to what? Resolve conflict in a healthy way, which requires communication skills. Chaos is not normal. Confusion is not normal. And so what we have to do when it comes to uninterrupted joy, I got to learn how to reverse the curse of chaos and confusion. And it happens when I develop an attitude of being a peacemaker. Sometimes people are labeled as troublemakers. I don't know about you. Now that I'm in Christ, I want to be a peacemaker. Now, Jesus in Matthew 5, he goes with his disciples. He takes them on this mountain. We get what we call the Beatitudes. That means eight principles Jesus shares with his disciples on how to live with wisdom in the world. And one of those principles was in Matthew 5, 9, I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. He say, blessed, spiritually calm, with life joy in God's favor are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they will express his character and be called the sons of God. Jesus has said basically, blessed are the peacemakers. Listen, if you are not a peacemaker, choose today, I'm going to start being a peacemaker. And one of the ways you do it is when you got a situation that could lead to chaos and confusion, you start asking yourself, what can I do to try to create peace in this situation? Now, if you're going to be a peacemaker, it's going to require humility. Those of us who are married, you know, in order to have peace in the marriage, somebody got to be the bigger person and not fight fire with fire. Somebody got to be willing to humble themselves and be transparent and be vulnerable to step up to the plate and try to handle this matter in a peaceful way. So we got to be willing to be peacemakers. 1 Corinthians 7:15, Paul used the example of a marriage relationship where there's a spouse that decides to leave another spouse because of their faith and commitment to the Lord. One was saved and one wasn't saved in this particular case here. In 1 Corinthians 7:15, listen to what Paul said. Paul said, if the unbeliever leave, let him do so. A believing man, a woman, is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to do what? Live in peace. It disturbs me how in this day and time, when people walk out of people's life, people want to commit suicide. Especially these young people, they fall in love in high school, and especially if it's their first love. How many know, in high school and all that, when we grew up, they called it puppy love. I didn't understand what puppy love was, but how many know a puppy grow up? Hallelujah. Now, some of you married your high school sweetheart, praise the Lord, but some of us got track record of a lot of puppy love along the way. We were growing up. Paul said that when something happens in your life that you don't have control over another person and they decide to do something that can affect your life, God has called you to live in peace. So if you're a Christian, you got to learn how to what? Forget about what folk talk and say and all that. You can live in peace. That's the way you want to live your life, uninterrupted by even your past mistakes and failures. You don't want your past to be right there in your life. Why? You'll never be able to live in peace. Because all you're doing is allowing the enemy and sometimes others to hold you hostage because of something from your past. Last time I read was, he that the Son make free is free indeed. Turn to Romans 14. Paul shows us here how to be able to walk in peace with other believers. And he gives some principles here. Because in order to choose the path of peace, you got to make a commitment. I'm going to walk in love. See, somebody else can act all crazy, cuss, and do all kind of stuff. That don't mean I got to join them. I'm just serious. They can start going all off and all this. And I found out the best thing to do in times like that is to be quiet. That eat them up, boy. Because when people want to fight, they want you to fight back. But that silence, boy, will eat them up. They'll get up in your face, say something. I ain't got nothing to say. But in Romans 14, the whole key to Romans 14 is verse 15. Paul said, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you're no longer what? You're no longer walking in what? Walking in love. Listen, the whole thing about being a peacemaker is you're going to commit to walk in love. I'm going to walk in love in this situation. If you don't develop that attitude, you're going to end up being drawn into a situation where a side of you is going to come out that you don't even like yourself. You don't really like that side. I don't know about you, but we all can have a side of us to come out, and then we don't like that side. Why? That's that old side. That's that old man. You said, no, I don't like going there. If you don't like going there, you're going to have to say in your heart, I'm going to walk in love in this situation. The problem with walking in love is the enemy makes us think somebody is taking advantage of us. If I don't stand up to them now, they're going to keep doing it. See, we make all kinds of excuses to justify not walking in love. So Paul said the first thing is, he said that if your brother is grieved because of your food, because of your action, because of what you're doing, your brother, the fellow Christian, if they are grieved, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. In other words, this is a Christian. They're your brothers and sisters in Christ. And here you got Jews and Gentiles finally coming together in the church. Prior to that, they did not worship together. They couldn't eat dinner together. There was such a racial divide between a Jew and a non-Jew. And now that wall is being taken down by Christ. And they're coming together in the church. But the Jews come from a background that they had certain traditions relative to certain foods, dietary laws. The Gentiles come from a background where the pig or anything else got on the plate. How many know when you come in relationship with somebody, you got to consider their background? Because that's what they bring to the table. Their background, their history and everything. And so here you got the Jews coming, and the Jews are saying, we do not eat meat offered to idols. We are saved. We are children of God. We will violate our relationship with God if we eat meat that have been offered up to pagan idols. The Gentiles are saying, no, there's nothing wrong with that meat because the idols are not real. They are not real, God. So why should we worry about whether or not this meat is clean or whatever? The Gentiles were partaking of the food. So here the Jews are in the church saying, we can't fellowship with them. They are eating food offered up to idols. And Paul has said, if you eat the food in front of your Gentile brothers and it grieves their heart, you are not walking in love. So what do you do? Do you not eat the meat? No, you don't eat it in front of them because your goal is what? Not to offend them. So he goes on, therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many know that's the kingdom we're in? For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. In other words, Paul is saying you are accepted by God and approved by men because of righteousness, peace, and joy, not because you don't partake of food. So he's letting those Gentiles know, I'm not saying you are wrong, but what I'm saying is restrict your liberty for the sake of walking in love with your brother. Saints, just because we have the right to do it don't mean we necessarily have to do it. He said, therefore, let us pursue. Now, notice the word what? Pursue. Let us pursue the things which make for what? For peace and the things by which one may edify another. He said, let us choose paths that lead to peace. Let us choose paths that encourages and build up one another. Let's not choose paths in our relationship with one another that cause division and dissension and get this confusion. So if you're going to be a peacemaker, you got to start asking yourself, what path can I take in this relationship that I don't get this now? Create chaos and confusion. Each of us have to do that. You could be on your job and you can start asking yourself, what can I do to diffuse this situation so that we can have peace in this environment? And it goes on to say, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil, get this now, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. Wow. Paul is saying, you Gentiles are operating in an evil way. If you know that this offend your fellow brother and you still do it, he say that's evil. You're not what? Walking in love. Whatever relationship you're in and you find tension and you find strife and you find where the enemy is trying to bring division, make a decision that I'm going to pursue peace in this relationship. You reverse the curse of chaos and confusion by purposing your heart, I'm going to be a peacemaker. And every Christian should strive to be a peacemaker. You shouldn't be one stirring up stuff everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, everybody say, everywhere they go, ain't number trouble. And name the name of Jesus. Your family should know you, oh, that's the one that's going to keep something going in the family. We all got somebody that keeps something going in the family. But I hope they don't label me as the one keeps something going. The second thing we have to do is this. Resolve to exercise your peace on every assignment, regardless of the conflict. Physical exercise has its benefit. We have to exercise ourselves in these areas, and we're going to see the benefit of it. So you got to start asking yourself, what are some situations in my life where I need to shift and begin to purposely start being a peacemaker? And the more you exercise that, the more your brain is going to be focused on being a peacemaker in different situations. Now, look at Luke chapter 10. I want us to see this because in Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends out these 70. And when he sends them out, he talks about them having the ability to release their peace when they go into a place. And if people don't receive that peace, they're to take it back. Because sometimes you're in a situation where you're trying to walk in peace, and people reject that peace. You're in a situation where you're trying to exercise peace and they reject it. You got to know how to take it back without going into attack mode. So in Luke chapter 10, listen to what Jesus said. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. How many know Jesus knows it's going to always be a problem of having more work to do than workers to get it done. So he said, go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Look what kind of environment he's sending them in. You're going into a very difficult environment. And sometimes, saints, your peace have to go into a very difficult environment. Then he goes on to say, carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say what? Peace to this house. He said, whatever house you go in, say shalom. In the Jewish culture, when they walked in the house, they said shalom. That was their greeting. Shalom was not just people at conflict trying to have peace with each other. But that word comes from a Greek word that goes into the area of prosperity, blessing, favor, completeness. And so when you go into a Jewish home and they say shalom, they are decreeing blessings into that household. And so Jesus said, when you go into a house, say shalom. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest up on it. If not, it will return. If there's someone there who can connect and receive that peace and agreement, that's a son of peace. Then you can go in, you can sit down, you can enjoy the fellowship. But if a son of peace is, if a peaceful person is not there, you need to leave. You need to walk away. He said, and if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating, drinking, such thing as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house. In other words, when you get to that house, if a son of peace is there, you settle down, you rest, you get this. Whatever they offer you, you accept it and you appreciate it. Whatever hospitality they give you, you accept it, you appreciate it. Now, whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. And then Jesus goes on to say, but I say to you that it would be more tolerable for the day of Sodom than for the sin. In other words, he uses some Old Testament people who rejected God's presence, and all of a sudden they suffered his judgment. When you have peace in you and you go in a setting and they don't receive that peace, you don't fight. You shake the dust off your feet. You walk away out of that. Because how many know there has to be an agreement? 2 Timothy 3:12 said, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. He said, I'm sending you as lambs among wolves. What's that? Persecution. If you're going to be godly, if you're going to live for Christ, how many know you better be ready that it's not going to be easy. People can reject you. They can reject your peace. Get this. They can reject your kindness. But you don't let that rob your peace. You shake the dust off your feet. Do what you're doing. Let God judge the man. That's what you're saying. Let God deal with the matter. Why? Because God is a righteous judge. And God sees that you are a person of peace. You are a peacemaker. And so God, get this now, God is going to represent you godly in that situation. That's why I say you don't have to go in attack mode. Matthew 5 and 10 say, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The last thing, how do I sustain my peace, is rest your mind by agreeing with God's view and voice concerning you. Isaiah 26 and 3 says it like this. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Meditate on the word of God. That brings you peace in your mind. Hallelujah. The Bible say you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind what? Is stayed on you because what? He trusts in you. So when you're meditating the word of God, you're trusting God. Get this, you are listening what God says about the matter. And so that will what? That settles your mind. That takes away anxiety. That takes away fear. Why? You meditate on the word of God. God told Joshua to meditate in this book what? Day and night. Then you're going to make your way prosperous and you're going to have great success. Ephesians 1:6 says this, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in who? In the beloved. Listen, listen. You are not accepted by God because of what you're doing. You're accepted by God by who you believe in. Let me say that again. See something? Well, if I stop doing this and I stop doing that, I'll get my life right with God. That's the way sinners talk, right? When you meet them out there. Well, you know, I'm doing this. I'm planning on stopping and doing this. Then I'm going to come back to church. And I say, well, you stop doing all that and come back to church. That's not going to help. They said, what you mean that's not going to help? I said, you can still do that, and God can still accept you while you're doing that. It kind of shocks them. You mean I can still smoke dope and God accept me? Yes, but he's going to change you in the process. Hallelujah. See, some of y'all got, smoking dope already. They felt good about that. People smoking dope already in church, you hear that? Pastor says, okay. No. I'm saying God will accept you if you smoke dope. I want people to understand. See, religion messed us up. We focus on certain things you don't suppose. We can hate folk. We can talk about folk and don't focus on that. Let me tell you, the more stuff you dump out of the bag, the more stuff you're going to see in the bag. God don't accept us based on what's in the bag. God accepts us based on Jesus Christ. And once we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God accepts us with all the stuff in our bag. And when we start walking with God, we'll start taking stuff out of the bag. We'll start taking stuff out because we're walking with God. You all know when you got saved, you didn't have it all together. You still had stuff going on. Your bag was full of stuff and it wasn't toys. I'm just being honest. But as you start going to Bible study and drawing closer and praying, all of a sudden you looked in the bag. I don't want that anymore. I don't want that anymore. No, I don't need that anymore. And some of your friends that had the same stuff in their bag and y'all brought y'all bags together and y'all hung out together, they'll find out, well, why you don't want to do any more of that? Because I took it out my bag. I have no interest in that anymore. We are accepted in the beloved. God accepts us for what Jesus did, not for what we did. God brought us into the family of God, not because we measured up to a certain standard, but we looked unto Jesus, because Jesus is the only one that's qualified to be in the presence of God. Saints, let me tell you what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite is not nobody who got stuff in their bag trying to follow Jesus. A hypocrite is somebody who got stuff in their bag and go look up in everybody else's bag and point at them. This is what you got. I'm serious. That's a hypocrite. A hypocrite know they got stuff in their bag. But they ain't looking in their bag. They looking in your bag. I told you, see, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. Look in your bag. You need to look in your own bag. Old folks said it like they'll sweep around your own front door. See, God's opinion of me matters. Now, I can't control your opinion of me. I don't need to be sweating that. I don't need to be trying, well, they think this way. I can't control that. I can't control people gossiping about me. I can't control people lying on me. Get this. I am concerned about God's opinion of me, and God's opinion of me is this. I accept you in the beloved because you believed on my son, you are my child. And no matter what I do, he don't kick me out of the house because he know I'm going to still do some stuff. And he'll tell me, I didn't accept you because of you. I accepted you because of him. That's why I love Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why I love the Lord. That's why I thank God for Jesus. Now listen to Hebrews 8 and 12. I will be merciful to their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. How many know that's God's opinion of me? Mercy and forgiveness. Romans 8, once there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in who? Who are in Christ. See, if you're in Christ, you can't be condemned. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but they're learning to walk what? According to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that he's given us. So the anointing that sustains my joy without interruption is my declaration of peace, my story of God's redeeming power in my life. Therefore, I will sustain my joy by reversing the curse of chaos and confusion in my life by saying I'm going to walk in peace. Look at neighbors, I'm going to walk in peace. Then I'm going to resolve to exercise my peace on every assignment, regardless of the conflict. It doesn't matter where the conflict is coming from. I've made a resolve that I'm going to exercise my peace. And lastly, I'm going to rest my mind by agreeing with God's view and God's voice concerning me. How many know God wants us to have uninterrupted joy? Hallelujah. That when Christmas Day is over, the joy of the Lord is still my strength. Hallelujah. Now, some of you got some situations where you've got to take what you just heard and you got to bring it from the ear gate through the heart gate to the faith gate. In other words, you got to put it in action. God will give you wisdom on how to do it.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church. Located at 3100 Trotter Road in Southeast Columbia, where Norman E. Curley is the pastor. Come worship with us each Sunday at 10 a.m. worship and 7 p.m. Wednesdays for an engaging, insightful, and anointed Bible teaching. For more information about the ministry or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at wordalivesc.com. Tune in next time for Word Alive Broadcast Ministries. Thank you.